Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and to finish up today, a guest who has thought about the creative process of famous artists a lot. In fact, he might be more interested in how the work is created than in what the final product actually is. In fact, he's probably even more interested in how the artist gets ready to create than how he creates. Mason Curry is the author of a new book called Daily Rituals, How Artists Work, in which he chronicles the work habits of 161 different luminaries, from Beethoven's long afternoon walks to David Lynch's daily lunch at Bob's Big Boy. Maybe you saw his series on the topic in Slate or heard him on the Gab Fest on WNYC this past weekend. So, Mason, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what goes into your daily routine? Do you have one?
I do. My kind of one trick is to get up really early in the morning. I, at some point, maybe in high school, I figured out that if I got up, you know, around sunrise, I could have a couple of hours and get more done in that time than I can get done often the rest of the day.
I also get up early. One of the best things about it, it's really, really quiet.
And no one can disturb you. And also, I find, since I don't want to disturb my wife, I have to, you know, focus. I can't unload the dishwasher or, you know.
So you're better off actually working.
Yeah. It's like you have little choice but to work.
So listeners, maybe there are creative folks out there for whom tuning into the Brian Lehrer Show is actually part of your daily routine. I don't know if you get inspiration from us yapping about the news and life, but give us a call and tell us whatever you do to get the creative juices flowing. What rituals or routines do you need in order to do your best creative work? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We're already getting some great responses on our Facebook page, and you can also leave a comment on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. One of the patterns we noticed is that you document so many artists and other creative types, you know, who we might tend to think of as free spirits, actually keeping to fairly rigid schedules.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I think people might be surprised at how mundane and unglamorous a lot of these artists' working habits really are. You know, someone like Francis Bacon, who is, you know, the painter Francis Bacon is famous for having these really messy, kind of almost destroyed looking studios. And he would stay out all night drinking. But then every morning he would get up and paint for a few hours. And it was actually, you know, it was not some, you know, crazy like binge of work. It was a steady everyday thing.
And you have, on the other hand, luminaries like Franz Kafka and Edgar Allan Poe, who were big-time procrastinators.
That's very true. I think some people might be encouraged to find that even some of these great minds put off their work from time to time. I think in Kafka's case, I think he almost had to build himself up into a kind of almost a state of panic in order to finally sit down and get that 1 hour of work. It might take 7 hours to get there, but then he would have that hour.
And so for some people, structure is something they respond to. For other people, lack of structure.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. I mean, it seems like creative types almost divide between these two poles of the highly structured, routine-loving types and then the kind of all-over-the-place, you know, procrastinators. And
one of our listeners, Carla, on our Facebook page writes, yes, strangely, a deadline is most helpful.
Yeah, I think that's very common. The playwright Tom Stoppard has said that he has to have fear to get to work. He has to be frightened enough to sit down at the typewriter.
And you write about the routines of a few contemporary figures such as Stephen King, Jonathan Franzen, Myra Kalman. But the majority of artists you profile in this book really never had to deal with the distractions of Twitter and Facebook. Do you think the internet is changing the creative work process, either for the better or for the more distracted?
I think it's certainly changing it. I think it makes it harder, for sure. You know, like you say, a lot of these figures from the 18th and 19th century were not worrying about their Facebook updates and Twitter. And, you know, I think that writers and artists today have a lot more distractions to contend with.
Although I wonder if in the case of writers, it's so easy, much easier than it ever was, to connect dots, to do quick little dives of research. and find out facts. And of course, you have to confirm your facts, but to find out lots of stuff that then you can weave into your writing, whether fiction or nonfiction.
Right. Although I think that's dangerous, too, because you think, oh, I'll just take a break and look up this one thing on Wikipedia. And then next thing you know, you're checking your email for 30 minutes. And I think a lot of people need, you know, an unbroken span of time to really kind of get into this creative process. And I think that the internet has made that harder on a lot of folks.
There are superstitions out there too, like Truman Capote, you write, couldn't have three stubs in an ashtray at once.
Right. Yeah, that's one of quite a few kind of funny superstitious behaviors.
And there is substance use / abuse as well. Francis Bacon, Henri de Toulouse-Lautrec. Hard to draw a line between their creative routines and what some might call alcoholism.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, the one thing that kind of comes across is even these alcoholics were carving out time each day to be sober and do their work. I mean, I think even the famous alcoholics who you think of as drinking while writing, it turns out, really weren't. You know, they may have been drinking a lot, but I think that everyone had to make time for kind of sober artistic work.
Even Hemingway and Fitzgerald.
Even Hemingway. I mean, Hemingway said that he needed to drink to be inspired, but he did that after his writing day was over.
And do you get into other drugs, marijuana, hallucinogens, who some people say, you know, specifically provide insight and inspiration?
Well, there's a lot of amphetamine use in the book, actually. A whole swath of 20th century writers used amphetamines in a very methodical, almost a little boring of a way. Like the poet W.H. Auden took, a benzodrine pill every morning the way many people take a multivitamin.
Graham Greene. That category, Sartre. Ayn Rand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she needed help.
Who knew she'd be a druggie?
I know, and I think in the long term, I think it ended up being really bad for her health, but it helped her break through when she was writing The Fountainhead, which was kind of her big breakthrough novel. And she went from spending months and months trying to plan the first part of the novel to knocking out the rest of it, you know, in just a few months.
Mason Curry with us, author of Daily Rituals, How Artists Work. You want to hear some of our listeners? Creative
yeah,
routines?
Definitely.
Gianno in the West Village, you're on WNYC. What do you do?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
I'm a Broadway pianist with a few Broadway shows under my belt playing the orchestra pits. This is a particularly New York spin on my ritual because it involves space. I have my small West Village studio where I live and work, and I have to physically get up if I'm learning a new chart or a new piece of music, get dressed, leave my apartment, go have the coffee, the paper, return to my apartment, and then repurpose it as a studio. In other words, There's my piano, there's my Yamaha, there's my keyboard, learn the music, and when I'm done, leave the apartment as if it's my office and then return to it as my living space. otherwise, the boundaries just bleed together, and I can't kind of compartmentalize
that. I love it. Probably helps your personal life, too.
Yeah,
probably helps you not to work when you're at home at other times. Gianno, thank you. That was cool. Dan in San Diego, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dan.
Yes. I'm a writer, and I find that the mindfulness and breathing is an extraordinarily good aid. Also, I've become an inveterate collector of tiny little notebooks where I compile my notes and really getting in the context of what I want to write about. I need to be surrounded by the notebooks. I need to do my breathing, and then I find that the writing flows. So it's really sort of a contextual thing with me.
Thank you, Dan. I used to use a lot of tiny little notebooks, and now they've collapsed all into one iPad notes app. John in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Reading the New York Times every morning, at least half the time there's something to use in my work. I'm writing a book on creativity, and just the other day there's an article on why we've had these incredibly fantastic TV shows ever since The Sopranos, and based on letting the writers do their thing without producers mucking it up.
John, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you. John in Milburn, you're on WNYC. Hi, John. Your ritual?
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Yeah, actually, I use NPR a lot as inspiration. I work full-time, but I'm a writer and musician. I'm always looking for inspiration. And I have a notebook in my car, and it's called NPR Out of Context. And I listen to your interviews, and I just write down random lines, and I end up with some great raw material.
don't take notes while driving.
Well, you know, driving is about the only time I get to actually be creative. No, I park and listen to you guys at lunch and just take notes.
Good.
Stream of consciousness. It's great.
John, thank you. We'll get one more in here. Paul in Manhattan. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul, Brian. I appreciate the topic. I've been fascinated with this for years. I'm a painter in the city. I'm also studying architecture here. And just want to call in and say that, you know, I served in the military for over a decade, and we called it battle rhythm. And I think with anybody in a high-stress position, routine is essential. I wanted to get Mason's comments on that.
The architects in your book take a lot of naps, don't they?
Yeah. There are a few nap-taking architects.
What's the relationship between that? Paul, do you take naps?
I do not. I gave up naps a long time ago.
That's funny. Well, one of the best stories is about Buckminster Fuller, you know, who was an architect and an inventor and other things. And he had this idea that, you know, modern lifestyles don't need 8 hours of sleep a night. And he devised this scheme where he would sleep for 30 minutes every 6 hours and then kind of basically never sleep for longer than that.
All right. We have to leave it there. The book is Daily Rituals, How Artists Work by Mason Curry, who also runs a blog on the subject at dailyroutines.typepad.com. He has a reading coming up at Brooklyn's Book Court, 7 p.m. this Friday. Mason, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Speaking of creative routines.
Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head. Found my way downstairs and drank a cup. And looking up, I noticed I was late.
Thank you, John and Paul and Mason. By the way, thanks, John Hodgman, for the tweet. You like that line about Ayn Curry, Ayn Rand, huh?
Somebody spoke and I went into a dream.